Good afternoon. Call the December 16th meeting of the Carson City Planning Commission to order. Madam Secretary, could you call the roll, please?
Chairperson Esswein.
Here.
Vice Chair Sattler.
Here.
Commissioner Castro.
Here.
Commissioner Green.
Here.
Commissioner Mondra.
Here.
Commissioner Owens. Commissioner Salerno.
Here.
A quorum is present.
Thank you. Mr. Sattler, could you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, the public is invited to comment on and discuss any topic that is relevant to or within the authority of the Planning Commission, including any matter that is not specifically included on the agenda as an action item. Is there anyone here that wishes to address the Commission? Okay, moving on to item C for possible action, approval of minutes. We will take the October 28th, 2015 minutes. Anybody, we've all read them.
Elise Monroy, for the record, I was not present at this meeting. I don't know how I should abstain from the vote, or if I have to, or...
I just abstain.
Okay.
I would like to move for approval.
We have a motion.
I'll second that.
A motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor of approval of the minutes of October 28th, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Me? I abstain.
The minutes of November 18th. Anybody have any comments or adjustments to make?
I'll make a motion for approval as written.
We have a motion for approval. We have a second for Ms. Green. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? 6-0. Minutes are approved. Item D, modification of the agenda. Any items on the agenda may be taken out of order. The public body may combine two or more agenda items for consideration, and the public body may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item on the agenda at any time. Mr. Plemmel.
We have no suggested modifications to the agenda. We'll take it as scheduled and as presented.
Okay, thank you. Item E, disclosures. Any member of the commission may wish to explain any contact with an applicant or the public regarding an item on the agenda or business of the commission. Are there any disclosures? Seeing none, we will move on to public hearings. Item F1, special use permit SUP-15-095 for possible action. To consider a request from Verizon Wireless, property owner Carson Gaming, to allow a new wireless communication tower with an 80-foot tall monopole on property zone general commercial located at 3910 South Carson Street, APN 009-153-05. Staff?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Susan Pansky, Planning Manager. This is a request from Verizon Wireless to place an 80-foot tall wireless communication monopole on the Carson Gaming property that's located on South Carson Street, just south of the Courtyard Marriott building that is located here on the screen. They're proposing to locate the monopole in the southwest corner, as shown on the aerial up on the screen. This is another aerial, a little bit more current of the site. Again, southwest corner is where this pole is being proposed. Just a couple of photos showing the current landscape island where the monopole is going to be located. A couple of trees are being proposed to be removed as a part of this location, and as a result of that, staff has recommended a condition of approval that the applicant would pay to have trees placed at wherever Parks and Recreation would desire that they be placed at another suitable location in the city. Just another photo looking to the west, showing what the area is like, and then again the trees that will be removed. One thing I'd like to note before I move on to the next slide is that there had been some discussion about whether or not the monopole in its current form at 80 feet high or a monopine, which is a pole that looks like a pine tree, would be appropriate in this location. The original proposal was for the monopole, and that's what's in front of you now. But staff felt that putting a pine tree 80 foot tall in this location would not be appropriate, given the fact that most of the trees that are in this location are much shorter, and to put a large monopine in this location would make it stand out, quite frankly, quite a bit more than just a regular wireless pole. This is what the pole looks like. The drawings of the various elevations, pretty much the same view from every side. And then some photo renderings done by the applicant to show what this pole would look like once it's constructed. And I believe it's here on, this is existing, I'm sorry. Existing, proposed, on the bottom, what the 80-foot monopole would look like, existing, and again proposed. So there are several other signs and taller structures in the area. So while you can see it, it doesn't stand out. The applicant is here to answer any questions that you have. Staff is recommending approval. The applicant has met through this application all of the requirements through our wireless telecommunication development standards, and I am happy to answer any questions if you have them.
Does anybody have any questions? Ms. Monroy.
I have one. Thank you. As I was looking through the comments submitted by the engineering department, looks like they had no objection but noted that the area was fairly steep, so temporary and permanent erosion control measures should be addressed. I didn't see anything called out in the conditions of approval or anywhere else, and I just wanted to know if that was addressed in a way that I maybe missed it. Or maybe it's not significant enough.
I would say that type of a requirement is part of our standard development requirements, and so through their building permit process, we would require that whether it's a condition of approval or not. Yeah.
Mr. Sadler.
Was there any thought or consideration given or any way that they possibly some of those trees, even one, could remain to help hide some of the pole if it was, or if the building configuration such there's no way to set it there?
Because of the structure size and the fencing required around it, it really took up the entire island. But staff has felt that the alternative was acceptable.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? Is the applicant here? Would you like to address the commission?
Sure.
Please step forward. State your name.
Buzz Lynn, Epic Wireless, representing Verizon Wireless. We had proposed this project to the Planning Commission, or should I say to staff, and we just appreciate the opportunity to be heard, and if there are any questions, glad to answer them, but we think staff has been very helpful and done a great job, and we've been pleased to work with the city on this project as we have with others in the past. Open it up if you've got things.
So you've looked at the staff report and reviewed the conditions of approval, and you're okay with those?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Salerno.
There is a round portion at the very top of the pole. Could you tell me what material that is? Is it metal?
No.
Is it screening, or what is it?
It is a non-transparent screen, but it is radio frequency transparent, so that radio signal will pass through it. It is not metal. It is typically made of fiberglass and painted to match.
Thank you.
And the purpose of that is just to hide the equipment?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Are there any other questions for the applicant? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'll bring it back to the commission for consideration. Public comment. I'm sorry. Thank you. Is there anyone here from the public who wishes to address this item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the commission for consideration. Mr. Salerno.
I know that it's a requirement of the federal government that we cannot deny. We can simply improve upon a pole of this sort because it's needed for the communication system of the country. It seems to me this is a very appropriate location for it, and I think it's certainly of a reasonable design, and I would like to move for approval.
Okay, could you read the approval statement, please?
Let's see. Okay. I move to approve SUP-15-095, a special use permit to allow a wireless telecommunication facility with an 80-foot-tall monopole on property zone general commercial located at 3910 South Carson Street, APN 153-05, based on the findings and subject to the conditions of approval contained in the staff report.
Do you have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, with the correction that it's 009. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion of this item? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? None. Motion passes. Item F2A. Now, just to clarify, we're going to consider both of these together, and then we'll vote on them separately.
That's correct,
okay.
Yes.
So this is item F2A, AB-15-164 for possible action, to make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors regarding an application from Wayne Lapierre, property owner, Desert Peak Investments, LLC, for an abandonment of a section of right-of-way approximately 9 feet wide by 170 feet long along the west boundary of Anderson Street between East Caroline Street and East Robinson Street, adjacent to APN 004-244-04, and item F2B, TSM-15-165 for possible action, to make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors regarding a tentative subdivision map application from Wayne Lapierre, property owner, Desert Peak Investments, LLC, to create 7 attached dwelling units with associated common area on property zone general office located at East Caroline Street, APN 004-244-04. Staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this application is for a tentative subdivision map and abandonment associated with it for 7 units on a parcel located on Anderson Street and Caroline Street. This is just a few streets off of Stewart Street, actually not far from here. This is the subject parcel on the aerial. It shows not only the parcel itself here, but also the proposed area that would be abandoned as a part of this request. Just another aerial showing the vacant parcel. The applicant is proposing 7 single-family attached townhouse units as a part of this project and a large common area, as you see in the landscaped area surrounding. The parking that's being proposed is a single-family garage for each one of a single garage for each one of the units, and then parking in the driveway for a second car. As you're aware, our development standards don't allow you to count the parking space behind the garage as your second space, but they've made the driveways wide enough so that each can have 2 as a part of this. The abandonment area, as it's on this screen, is basically here, where my arrow is following, on the east side of the property. The townhouse lots are essentially just slightly larger than the footprint of the houses. They range anywhere from 1,540 square feet to 1,848 square feet. And the houses themselves are proposed at just over 1,600 square feet each. They have 3 bedrooms, 2.5 bathrooms, and, as I mentioned previously, a 1-car garage. They will all have a shared wall. except for the townhouse 1 and townhouse 7 will have a regular wall on each side, but everyone else has shared walls on both sides. And the common area parcel is 5,744 square feet, and that will be used for the benefit of these parcels. I'd like to note, this is the general office zoning district. General office allows this type of residential project and any residential for that matter by right, so no special use permit is required. However, because it is considered a non-residential zoning district, they are still required to meet the residential development standards, just not the special use permit portion of those development standards. And staff has outlined in the staff report how they have met these requirements. Just a couple of other photos to show what the project's going to look like when it's done. This is the elevation looking to the west from Anderson Street, the front elevation, then the left elevation, and the right elevation, left being the Robinson Street side and right being the Caroline Street side. And then finally, the proposed floor plans, first floor, single car garages, living room, kitchen, half bath and laundry area, and then on the second floor, master bedroom, two bedrooms, a small loft, and two full bathrooms. And I'll just bring it back to the site plan for any questions. Staff hasn't received any comments in opposition or in favor of this project, and I'm happy to answer any questions if you have them. And the applicant's representatives are here in the audience as well.
Thank you, Ms. Fansky. Are there any questions for staff? Mr. Salerno.
I have a question. There is a hatched area that I don't know whether it's gravel or whether it's a walkway. It seems to attach to the sidewalk at both ends. Do you see where I'm talking about? Yes, that area where the area is. What is the material of that?
I'm going to defer to the applicant to answer that question because I don't have that readily available in my staff report.
Okay. Are there any other questions for staff? Okay. Is the applicant here? Please state your name for the record.
Tim Russell with Loomis & Associates, representing the applicant, Wayne Lapeer, who unfortunately could not attend today. To answer a question, that area is intended to be like a cobble. It's a xeriscape type landscape feature to also assist with the drainage around the back of the new building.
So it's a pedestrian area somewhat?
No, it's more intended for, you know, visual. It's not intended for somebody to go walk on. It's not a pathway.
I kind of wondered because of the way it... I kind of wondered because of the way it flares when it reaches the sidewalk.
It coincidence more than anything, and it also assists with getting the drainage from behind the building to the sidewalk and the gutter along the roadway.
Okay. Thank you.
So will this area serve as yard area for... Will there be access from the rear of the buildings?
Yes, all the buildings will have access to this open space.
Okay. Mr. Sattler.
Just size-wise, it's a one-car garage. So if there's a car parked in the driveway part, will they still be able to get in and out of that garage?
Yes, the width of each driveway is 20 feet wide, great, which will accommodate two cars.
Thank you.
And there's enough space between the building and the edge of the sidewalk?
Yes, there should be between 20 and 21 feet between the back of sidewalk and the front of the garage, okay, which is about the length of a typical parking stall.
Okay. Mr. Salerno.
The sidewalk, apparently you're constructing a sidewalk along Anderson and along Robinson to meet with the existing sidewalk, but then it stops at the opposite corner, at the you might say the northeast corner of the property. Why doesn't it continue on down and meet with the sidewalk that is on the property just below on that map?
In coordinating with the engineering staff and transportation staff, there is a number of utility boxes, vaults, poles that you can see with the pointer there that are where you would have the sidewalk, and so the determination was made that there was no requirement to install sidewalk on that portion of the property.
Yeah, I noticed that when I viewed the property. I wondered why he didn't move those utilities. Is it expense or what is it?
It's not on their property. That's a good question. Mainly expense of trying to move and relocate those. They're located within the right-of-way, so they would have to still be maintained in the right-of-way unless some other provisions were made with the various utility companies for those facilities.
Thank you.
Mr. Sattler.
Just back to the parking in front, is there any things in the CCRs or whatever limitation as to what can be parked there? Can someone stick a boat there or a 20-foot trailer next to their, in front of their garage? Or?
That's a good question. I am not as familiar with the CCNRs, but I suspect that they can be changed or created in such a way that if there's concerns about those types of things, we can address those.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, someone could sit there for months and end or not be moved, whatever, and it would change the looks of the area, et cetera. It might be something they might want to consider in a direct.
No. Yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah. I mean, the parking and its location is my biggest issue with this. But I don't see any other way of getting around it, but to have a solid line of parking on the street frontage seems to be a bit much. Because it's just going to be solid concrete or asphalt or whatever you're going to use for paving surfaces. But that's just a observation. Are there any other questions for the applicant? You've read the staff report and the conditions of approval.
Yes, we have.
And those are acceptable.
Yes.
Okay. One more question.
It appears that the driveways in front, there's no curb along the entire area. It would all be driveway to the street. But I don't see that there's a transition where that ends on both ends of the townhouses, from townhouse 1 and townhouse number 7. There's no change in the... at least the plan doesn't show any change.
We would transition from a depressed driveway to a typical sidewalk.
There will be a transition,
yes.
Then.
Yes.
And, of course, there's no parking because there couldn't be
on the street.
Thank you.
Okay. One more question. Go ahead.
Actually, mine would be for staff. Our dentist and I is over in that area as well. There's no sidewalk requirements over in that part of town, is there? I mean, where there's mandatory walkways or whatever. Because it's sporadic. There seems to be some buildings there's sidewalks,
yeah,
others there's yard,
yeah.
Others there's nothing, et cetera.
Some of them have them and some of them don't in this part of town. Typically, as a part of this type of development, we would require it, which is why we're requiring it around the majority of the property.
Thank you.
Okay, and the area where the driveway entrances off the road are going to be, is the sidewalk going to be sloped there? I mean, it looks like it's right at the entry ramp to the driveway.
The sidewalks would all meet current ADA standards for cross slope, and then the driveways themselves would ramp up towards the garages.
So it'd be like a roll curb at that point, and then
No, it'll be a standard depressed driveway, like you see in a normal driveway, and then from the back of the sidewalk, then the driveway will ramp up to the garage.
Okay, I get it. Are there any other questions? Okay, at this point, is there anyone here from the public who wishes to address this item?
Mr. Chair, can you just clarify that you're asking for public comment on both F2A and F2B, please?
Yeah, at this point, we would be asking for public comment on both the abandonment of the within the right-of-way and the approval of the tentative subdivision map. Are you here to address this item, sir?
Yes.
Please state your name for the record.
Alan Gustafson. I own the property adjoining this project here on Robinson Street there. And I was just wondering, it doesn't show any wall or I don't know if that's fence there or using the existing division that we have now there. Part of it is 6 foot wood fence and part of it is a chain link fence at the moment here. And I was just wondering with the apartments there overlooking my properties, I was just wondering if there was going to be anything planned as far as a wall between my property and the project.
Okay. Staff, can you address that issue, or should I have the applicant address that? Okay.
At this time, there's no intent for a wall between the two properties. The intent would be to use the existing 6 foot wood fence and then continue that along the entire property boundary between the two.
Okay. Did you understand that? Anyone else here to address either of these two items? Please state your name for the record.
Yeah, my name is Dave Unks. I'm a property owner over on Spear Street. Yeah, I didn't read anywhere. What is the intent? Is this, are these going to be for sale or lease or for rent? We've got quite a few rentals in the neighborhood, which is, you know, is kind of going to be a continuing problem. You know, people renting don't keep their property up maybe as a homeowner would. So, but I haven't seen any. Are these going to be rentals or leases or what?
The intent at this time is for them to be rentals.
Any further public comment on these items? Okay, I'll bring it back to the commission for discussion. Mr. Salerno.
There will not be a homeowners association then if it's going to be rentals, if I understand you right. Is that correct?
Actually, there will be CCNRs, and there will have to be a some sort of HOA that is in place to take care of the perpetual maintenance of the property so that if in the future the applicant chooses to sell them, all of that is in place.
Will that be set up as a normal HOA?
Yes.
And there will be a board and, you know, everything that goes along with it? And
that
meetings and future members?
That I do not know at this point.
I have a question, and I think this is more for staff. This is a subdivision, so that each townhouse unit will be a separate parcel. So there would be nothing to preclude the owner from selling individual townhouse units. So that there could be a homeowner. The homeowners association could either be the whoever owns the whole project, or it could be a combination of the owners of the units.
Exactly.
Mr. Sattler.
Just going back again to staff to the concern with parking and what's parked there, is there any concern that, again, being rentals, that someone could just stick a utility trailer out there and leave it sitting there all but 2 hours a year? Is that they don't mind that something's parked there permanently, or is it meant more for cars coming and going so that looks more cleaned up?
Well, I'll take Lee Plummel Community Development Director, I'll take it because code enforcement's under us, and we deal with there's regulations for parking of RVs and trailers on streets and on private property.
Oh,
so we generally, and I'm not saying it's prohibited from doing that, but there are regulations of how they're parked, and I think from the planning side, we don't typically put further restrictions on the parking of vehicles on private property than are already there, unless there is some specific concern. So we typically we don't recommend any additional requirements for that, but they do have to comply with other typical parking standards for trailers and RVs.
I thank you. I understood the on-street, and I didn't know there was also for private property some restrictions or whatever. So that's all I wanted to clarify. I wasn't looking at additional. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Could I have a motion? And we'll take them, we'll do them separate. Do them separate.
I move to recommend the Board of Supervisors' approval of AB-15-164, a request from Wayne LaPierre, property owner, Desert Park Investments, LLC, for the abandonment of section of right-of-way approximately 9 feet wide by 170 feet long, along the west boundary of Anderson Street between East Caroline Street and East Robinson Street, adjacent to APN-004-244-04, based on the findings and subject to the conditions of approval contained in the staff report.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that. Commissioner Sadler.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Yes. I'd like some assurance that there won't be recreational vehicles parked in front of those units, and it seems to me that that could be done by means of an agreement of one sort or another. I just question what kind of a HOA this would have, and I wonder if staff could help us with that.
I think owners everywhere in that area are allowed to park their RVs on their property right now under the regulations. Again, there are some certain standards that go along with that. So I think if you want to place that condition on this, it goes a little above what we typically do, but if you think there's some specific reason for that, you'd have to make that part of the motion.
I'm not sure that this would be the appropriate item to place that condition on, because this is just the abandonment. This is not part of the subdivision.
They said that there would be CCNRs associated with this. That could be included in the CCNRs.
But we're considering the abandonment on this motion.
Yeah. Just the abandonment.
What he's saying is considering the abandonment. So yes, it could be included in the CCNRs. And, I mean, you're kind of implying that neighborhoods that have CCNRs should never have RVs in the parking lot, and that's not necessarily true either.
Yeah. We can get to that on the next item.
That's on the...
Okay.
We have a motion and a second for the abandonment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous. Motion passes. It sounds like we might need to have a little bit more discussion on the subdivision at this point before we make the motion. Or we could, I mean, it really doesn't make any difference. You could still have discussion. You just can't bring further comment.
Okay. The motion. So continue on the discussion now under this item on that. So again, I want to point out, and just pointing out for the record, not trying to make an argument one way or the other, but you're only hearing this because they want to subdivide it and be able to sell these as individual townhomes. The multifamily is permitted by right, and if they were doing this and not asking for the subdivision, they could be doing the same thing, and this wouldn't be before you for consideration as a condition on the tentative map. So I don't know if that helps any, but I just wanted to point that out.
Okay. I understand your concern, Mr. Salerno. However, I tend to agree with staff that it's difficult to place additional conditions that other property owners are not subject to.
I just think this one is a little bit different than most, simply because they all share the same driveway, because it would become very unsightly in this particular situation if there were motorhomes and trailers and, all kinds of utility trailers and so on parked there. I think it would be look
like that's what you would see when you would drive down the street at this particular location. And I think it's important that because there are CCNRs associated with this, because we were told that, that one of the items in the CCNRs should prohibit the use of the property, the on-site property, for the use of recreational vehicles of all kinds or utility trailers. That's my concern. I'm just concerned about what that street's going to look like when it's all done and over.
Yeah, I have a question for Mr. Solano.
Turn your mic on, Victor.
Have you done a site inspection?
Yes, I have.
Very good.
Okay, Mr. Sadler.
Didn't we clarify, Lee, though, there is already guidelines for places like this as far as use, et cetera?
There are. But as I said, it doesn't prohibit it. So it's a fair point. I will say, you know, I've said kind of what the regulations are, but it is a fair point that our current regulations would not prohibit that from happening. Actually, of parking a smaller recreational vehicle that actually fits on there. I mean, we're not talking large RVs because they won't fit in the driveway, but things that fit in the driveway and trailers could potentially be parked there and take up some of those parking spaces. So I would say it's a fair point.
But again, looking at, for example, at my home with a two-car garage, I can back up and put a camper off my truck if I had one or whatever there, and that's all legal. And, you know, it's what's fair is fair, I guess. So anyway, thank you. I kind of share the same concerns, but I think there are guidelines, and they hopefully will address in their CCRs that they at least follow the guidelines that are set by the city, I would think.
I just think this is opportune time to recommend that those guidelines in the CCNRs include that in this situation because of the fact that they're very narrow lots, and it could be just a whole street full of recreational vehicles and all kinds of other trailers, et cetera.
You know, at this time, we see no problem in agreeing to a condition to include such language in the CCNRs that addresses the intent of what the commissioners are getting at, and we can work with staff on that language. It may not be such that it's you can't ever, but maybe it has some time frames that you can't have something out there more than a couple, like a week or a couple days. And we can coordinate that through staff, but we see no problem in having that condition as part of our approval.
That's reasonable that they're there for just a short period of time, because they certainly can't park out in front for a short period of time like we can on all residential streets. That's reasonable.
Another brief question while you're there. Theoretically, it's all one driveway, but each unit has its section, correct?
Correct.
So the renter or owner or whatever is not going to let somebody else put a boat halfway into his driveway, obviously. I mean, if there would be enforcement, that would be addressed, I'm sure, to where that would be enforced, that they have their 20 feet is all they have.
Correct.
So in case they put something too large, they're blocking their garage, they wouldn't be able to get in and out of that as well. So I think it might handle itself in many ways as well.
Okay. Mr. Solano, would you like to make a motion with your addition of a condition?
Okay. I move to recommend to the Board of Supervisors approval of TSM-15-165, a tentative subdivision map known as Caroline Court Townhomes, consisting of 7 single-family attached units on property zoned general office located on East Caroline Street, APN 004-244-04, based on the findings and subject to the conditions of approval contained in the staff report, and that the CCNRs will provide the disallowance of using the property for long-time parking of recreational or utility trailers, vehicles,
and that that particular item would be approved by staff prior to going forward with the project.
Okay, we have a motion. Do I have a second? We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion on this item?
I'm having a little difficulty that we're going beyond. Are we going beyond what is already in the regulations, or what are we doing here?
Slightly beyond, yes. But really, within the limits of what normally can be done in a residential area.
It's an acceptable condition. Yeah, I mean, it's typical. If you think about a PUD that is required to have a homeowners association with associated CCNRs, they certainly put these kinds of conditions on regularly. And while you might not see it typically with a standard subdivision, it's certainly an acceptable condition to go beyond.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Call for the vote. All those in favor of the motion for the tentative subdivision map, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
Can you state a reason for your abstention, please?
Just don't agree with it.
Well, then you should vote no.
We generally need a reason for an abstention that causes you to not be able to vote, such as a conflict of interest or something like that. Otherwise,
okay, then I'll change my abstention today.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
We have a vote of 5-1. Motion passes.
And this will be heard at the January 7th Board of Supervisors meeting.
And for our record going forward to the board, Mr. Castro, that was based on, just to be clear, it was based on the additional condition on the RV parking.
My name?
Your name.
Correct.
Yeah, he affirmed that for the record. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Item G, staff reports. Mr. Plummel.
Good afternoon. We're getting out in time. Join the Ben Carson crowd in the community center after this. Still so good. Thank you for running, and thank you for all coming early enough to get through the security and everything. As I'm flipping to my notes here, let's see. So for items that have been that went to the Board of Supervisors in December that have been before the Planning Commission previously, the Board approved the Ivy Street abandonment that was related to the Lutheran School special use permit. They also approved the open space master plan amendments and zoning map amendments at the December 3rd meeting. And then lastly, at that December 3rd meeting, they approved the master plan annual report as recommended by the Planning Commission. So those all went through. We're still, since this is an early meeting, we still have a December meeting, a December Board of Supervisors meeting tomorrow, and there are a couple items on that. Tomorrow evening at 5:30 is they will be hearing the appeal of the Silver Oak special use permit, the Planning Commission's of approval of the apartments. That's time specific at 5:30 in the evening. And in the morning, they'll be, just for information, they'll be reviewing the downtown project plans and the associated neighborhood improvement district that's being formed to help pay for the maintenance of those improvements. So, and that should start, that's pretty early on the agenda in the morning. If anybody's interested, probably around 9 o'clock is when those items will come up on the agenda. In terms of future items coming to the Planning Commission, our submittal deadline's tomorrow, so we still expect to get actually one or two more applications. But so far we know we have coming in for the January Planning Commission meeting, we have a special use permit for medical marijuana establishment. I think it's one of them that's changing. It's a change of location. Somebody that received approval before, but now they've needed to find a new location. And then we also know we'll have arts and culture master plan from the Cultural Commission coming to you for your recommendation to the board on adoption of the arts and cultural element of the master plan. And then we expect by tomorrow to have a couple more applications, so we'll have another decently full meeting in January. That's all I have to report. Thank you.
Thank you. Any commissioners have any comments? Commissioners' comments. Anybody? No? Seeing none? We'll open it for public comment. Anyone here for public comment? Hearing? Is anyone here? Okay. A motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Same to you.
See you next year.